How firm a foundation, ye saints of the Lord, he is laid for your faith in his excellent word. What more can he say than to you he has said, you who unto Jesus for refuge have fled?
Hello and welcome to the Olmsted Baptist Church radio broadcast, preaching Jesus Christ, crucified and risen from the dead for the forgiveness and salvation of sinners, and returning to the earth soon to rule and reign as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And now here is Pastor Jim Duke with today's message.
I'm glad you tuned in again this time. We're taking up our study here in Luke chapter 12. Luke chapter 12, verse number 15. Our Lord Jesus tells his disciples, "Beware of covetousness, for a man's life consisteth not of the abundance of the things which he possesseth." Again, that's against the culture of our day and the thinking of our day, that folks are estimated by what they own. If they own a lot, then they're a great person. If they don't own much, there's not much at all to them. And that's the whole thing it's so untrue. Is that the Lord looks upon the heart. The Lord deals with the heart. The Lord changes the heart of men. What is it that Brother Moses owned? Did Brother Moses own anything? How about the Apostle Paul? Did he own anything? How much do you think that the prophet Samuel owned? How much did John the Baptist own? These are great men of God. They didn't own much physically on this earth, did they? Our Lord Jesus said he came with not didn't have a place to lay his head. Not even a pillow upon which to lay his head. A man's life doesn't consist of what he has. In verse number 16, "And he spake a parable unto them, saying, The ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. And he thought within himself," verse 17, "saying, What shall I do, because I have no room where to bestow my fruits? And he said, This will I do. I will pull down my barns and build greater, and there will I bestow all my fruits and my goods. And I will say to my soul, Soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said unto him, Thou fool." So here the Lord speaks about covetousness, and covetousness is really a terrible, terrible thing. Covetousness gives a promise of satisfaction, of peace and comfort. The thing is those that pursue and deal with covetousness find that there's never enough. There's always the need for a little bit more. Gotta have a little bit more. And it's sad. It's sad that is the way that it is, but that's the warning. This man here, listen to how it works. This rich man, he had some ground, and it really brought forth a bumper crop. He said, "I don't have enough place to put all the crop. And so, what am I going to do?" "You know what? I figured out what I'm going to do," he says. "I'm going to tear down my barns, and I'm going to build greater barns. And then I'll have a place to take all my crop and put it there." Is there anything wrong with having a bumper crop? Not at all. Our Lord is the giver of the bumper crop. Is there anything wrong with a good stewardship and looking for a place to put up the crop that the Lord gives you? By no means. Is there anything wrong with having enough in store to tear down barns that you have and build bigger barns? Not at all. There's nothing wrong with that. Sometimes that's just the course of good business. And the blessing of the Lord. Is there anything wrong with taking the bumper crop and laying it up in the new barns? Is there anything wrong with that? No. No. But here's where we find the problem. Covetousness is a trust that if that thing can be obtained by hook, crook, or whatever, or the hoarding up of things to self for the satisfaction and the accomplishment of and the peace of the soul, then there's the problem. Verse 19. After I've had the bumper crop, tore down the barns, got the new barns, put the crop in the barns, and will say to my soul, verse 19, soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Oh, trusting in the stuff. This man, his life consisteth of the things that he has in his mind. And he's got plenty, and he's trusting in that plenty. There's the problem. We don't see here a note of thanksgiving unto the Lord for his blessings, do we? We don't see a note of thanksgiving here regarding how the Lord blessed in this particular time, in these particular crops and growing seasons, and how he's rescued from drought in previous seasons and that. We don't see that, do we? We don't see a petition unto the Lord, Lord, help me to take what you've given and use it for your honor and your glory and the furtherance of your kingdom. We don't see that, do we? Not at all. We don't see here a consideration of the children and that the Lord is blessed, that there's a good amount here to help and establish the children by the Lord's blessing and grace. We don't see any of that, do we? We still don't see, what do we see here with covetousness? We don't see God in the picture whatsoever. We don't see our Lord. We don't see the blessing of our Lord. We don't see the continued trust and rest in our Lord. All that we see is a trust and a life that's built upon trusting and resting in the stuff. And I will say to my soul, soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. Now, there's nothing at all wrong with enjoying the fruits of one's labors. The Lord makes it very clear in Ecclesiastes and in the Proverbs that it's good for a man to enjoy the fruit of his labor. It's the blessing of God. But when our good Lord, the blesser of all things, and he which causes the grain to sprout forth and the seeds to sprout forth and bring forth abundantly, when he is left out of it in a yielding and submission to his will and to take the blessing that he's given to use it for his honor and his glory, when it's all devoid of that, behold, we have a covetous man. And we see covetousness indeed at its worst. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. Not enjoy the blessing of living for the Lord. Not enjoy the freedom that having such an abundance would give for worship of the Lord and service of the Lord and obedience to the Lord, but all for self. All for self. Verse 20, but God said unto him, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then whose shall those things be which thou hast provided? That soul that you were talking about is going to take its ease and be merry and live it up and drink it up? No, it's coming home tonight. Your soul is required of thee tonight. Then what good does the stuff do you? Your soul is being required of the Lord tonight, and the stuff has nothing to do with it. Two totally separate issues. Your soul is being required of you tonight, and your stuff does not make a way for you into glory. Rather, the contrary, the indication that we see here is that this man is devoid of the Lord, no repentance, trusting in his own self and his own ability and trusting in his stuff. See, the stuff doesn't really, in the end, belong to him. It belongs to whoever survives. And yet for them, it's just for a little while. It belongs to the Lord who lends it. Thou fool, this night shall thy soul be required of thee. Then who shall those things be which thou hast provided? So he that layeth up treasure for himself and is not rich toward, so is he that layeth up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. The covetous are not rich towards the Lord. But see, a man's life doesn't consist of the abundance of the stuff that he possesses. But a man's life consists of what he has with the Lord. And he said in verse number 22, he said unto his disciples, therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat, neither for the body, what ye shall put on. For the life is more than what ye eat, and the body is more than what you wear. He says, consider the ravens. They don't sow, they don't reap, they have no storehouse, but God feeds them. And as he had said before, we are more valuable than the fowls. How much more are you better, of greater value to the Lord than the fowls? And of which of you takest thought can add to his stature one cubit? Can any of you add a foot and a half to your height? If ye then be not able to do that which is least. Yeah, Jesus says adding a foot and a half to your stature, to your height, is an easy thing. If you can't do that, why do you take thought for the rest? Our Lord says, consider the lilies, how they grow, how they don't toil and work and sweat and slave. And they don't spin and make garments for themselves. But he says, yet I say unto you that Solomon in all his glory wasn't arrayed like one of these. It's the Lord's doing. If then God so clothed the grass, which is today in the field and tomorrow is cast into the oven, it's so very temporary, the grass is. How much more will he clothe you, O ye of little faith in me? And seek not ye what ye shall eat and what ye shall drink, and neither be ye of doubtful mind. For all these things do the nations of the world seek after, and your Father knoweth that ye have need of these things. But rather seek ye the kingdom of God, and all these things that you need for life shall be added unto you. Fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. I see that our time has passed for now. May the Lord bless you with the good word and truth of his gospel. Farewell until next time.
Thank you for tuning in and listening to our broadcast. We wish to invite you, your family, and friends to our services on Sundays at 10 a.m., 11 a.m., and 2 p.m., and Wednesday evenings at 7 p.m. Olmsted Baptist Church is located in southwest Logan County, Kentucky, just 2.5 miles off of U.S. Highway 79. Between Russellville and Guthrie, turn on to State Route 775, also known as Olmsted Road. Drive 2.5 miles and you'll find our church house on the right, just beside Whipple Reel Creek. We are interested in any questions or comments you might have about our broadcast. Feel free to contact us by telephone at 270-726-3954.
by email at obchurch@gmail.com or on the web at www.almstedbaptistchurch.org. Tune in next time for another edition of the Almsted Baptist Church radio broadcast.